Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Forgive for Love, The Missing Ingredient for a Healthy and Lasting Relationship by Dr. Fred Luskin. Narrated by Adam Lofbaum. 1. The Missing Factor. Dana and Greg came to see me soon after they ran into serious relationship problems. Their love for and commitment to each other was apparent. But it was also clear that the past was eating away at the present. When Dana and Greg first met, he was still dealing with the emotional turmoil of his recent divorce. Greg clung to Dana like a drowning person clings to a life preserver. Dana's previous relationship and subsequent divorce had occurred a few years earlier, and she, though needy, was no longer in crisis. During our time together, I helped Greg forgive his first wife, Gloria, so that he was better able to see Dana as a new and distinct person. And I helped Dana to understand Greg's neediness, and also to forgive herself for choosing a partner who was in the middle of a difficult time in his life. Dana also realized that she had work to do to forgive Greg for his insecurity and the difficulties that caused. Learning how to forgive helped to prevent Greg's and Dana's pasts from damaging their present. Forgiveness saved their relationship and gave them skills to understand that letting go of grudges and resentment would be a critical part of maintaining a loving and lasting relationship. Greg and Dana are just one example of a couple for whom forgiveness has been essential for navigating the challenges that all relationships face. Relationship issues may emerge when partners are at different developmental stages, or when they have different needs and expectations. For example, when one partner wants children and the other does not. Or when one partner wants to move for a job and the other does not. Many couples struggle with caretaking for aged parents or with being overwhelmed by work. In our busy and hectic lives, it is difficult for many of us to find the energy and time to deal successfully even with life's normal struggles. Luke was in his 40s when he met 30-something Diane. He had already had 2 kids from a first marriage, and she wanted 2 of their own. Luke loved and wanted Diane, but did not want more children. Diane wanted more children, and she also wanted Luke. They were both convinced that the other was insensitive, because both heard only the other's rejection of their own needs. It took a lot of work, but eventually forgiveness allowed Luke and Diane to talk to each other and lovingly accept the limitations of entering a relationship with a person with different life desires and goals. From relative interest in sex, to dedication to work, to relationships with parents and children, there are simply too many ways in which a relationship can become unbalanced. Considering how complex life can be, it is inevitable that we will disagree with our partners on things both important and not so important. The key is to understand the inevitability of disagreement and the need to forgive the inevitable and to move on with love. In this book, you will learn how to do this. And you will also see for yourself the immediate value of forgiveness in your relationship when you discover that it is an essential balm for hurt feelings. Committed relationships are hard work, and they ask a lot of us. According to the triangle theory of romance, it takes passion, friendship, and commitment to sustain a relationship. Relationships falter when they have 2 of these elements but lack the 3rd. If you both love and like your partner but aren't committed, your relationship will end eventually. If you feel friendship and commitment to your partner, you'll end up with a good friend, not a lover. If you have commitment and passion without friendship, you will end up with a stormy but passionate mess. In order for your relationship to work, you need to love your partner, like your partner, and be willing to stick it out through thick and thin. As director of the Stanford University Forgiveness Project, I have probably taught more people to forgive in the United States than anyone else during the past decade. I have conducted the largest successful forgiveness research study to date, and my research has proven that forgiveness heals a wide range of emotional and psychological issues, from severe trauma such as the murder of a child to dealing with the loss of money in the stock market. I have taught forgiveness in corporate settings, in medical and law schools, at numerous churches and synagogues, and in a host of other religious and secular settings. Also, I have trained numerous therapists in my forgiveness methods and helped them learn to use my work in their practices. In addition, I've worked with thousands of disappointed and angry couples and individuals who have been hurt in their relationships. Listening to countless stories of infidelity, alcohol abuse, mistreatment of children, disregard for feelings, and other causes of divorce and disagreement, I have seen firsthand how difficult it is to make relationships work. In fact, my dozen years of teaching and research on forgiveness have convinced me of just how hard it is to have a loving and lasting union. But more than that, this work has shown me how essential forgiveness is and why it needs to be at the center of our relationships. Forgive for Love shows how to forgive the things people do to the ones they love. The skills taught in this book not only will help you come to terms with a grievance or disagreement in the past, but will also enable you to prevent problems from developing in your current relationship, no matter how good it is. The tools discussed in this book are for people in a committed relationship. I often use the word marriage, but you do not need to be married to find these tools beneficial. They will also work in your relationship with a significant other, a life partner, or a lover. The book is primarily for people who have chosen a life partner or who have been dating one person for an extended period of time and want their relationship to work. The principles can also be applied to other long-term relationships in which disagreement is inevitable, such as those with your parents, your children, or your longtime friends. However, even though most of the ideas in Forgive for Love can help you in any relationship, the book is not designed as a guide to casual dating. Think about it. The centrality of commitment in relationships is expressed through the marriage vows, which ask us to love our partners through richer and poorer, in sickness and in health, and for better and for worse until death. That means we promise to love them when they are not doing well, when they have failed, when life is not exactly turning out as hoped, or when we're going through a financial reversal. What I see in the marriage vows is a basic prescription. If we want our relationships to last, we better be prepared to forgive. The vows make it clear that over the life of a marriage, we will experience difficulty and pain, and that it is our responsibility to stay connected to our partners. How could we possibly do this without forgiveness? What other form of healing would clean the slate and give us fresh eyes and an open heart? Unfortunately, most examinations of successful relationships have neglected the subject of forgiveness. Until now, forgiveness has not been front and center as an aid to a sustainable marriage. Forgive for Love is the first book to explore forgiveness from both a scientific and a clinical perspective. My entire professional career has led me to believe that forgiveness is central to a happy and functional relationship. I am licensed as a therapist to work with individuals, couples, and children, and have earned 2 advanced degrees from prestigious universities. I have been supervised by excellent clinicians and first-rate therapists. About 15 years ago, I got a master's degree in psychology and a license as a marriage and family counselor. Following that, I received a doctorate and a license as a clinical psychologist after numerous classes, much training, 6,000 hours of clinical supervision, and a 2-part licensing examination. In all these years of study and experience, I was never once taught the importance of forgiveness in helping 2 people become a successful couple. Forgiveness was not one of the interventions I learned, nor was it a topic for supervision and clinical training. When I began the Stanford Forgiveness Project, there were only a handful of published studies that showed the positive effects of teaching people to forgive. My education and training left a void in my ability to help couples that I had to fill myself. Hundreds of self-help books are available to guide couples as they navigate the changing phases of a marriage. There are books that teach couples how to improve their communication by learning to really talk and listen to each other. There are books that teach couples how to have better sex, and books about managing conflict. Many of these volumes are helpful, and I have used a number of them myself to teach classes. Yet finding advice about how to practice forgiveness is like looking for the oyster with the pearl hidden in it. There are good books out there on enriching your marriage, but they almost always lack explicit advice about the importance of forgiveness and specific steps for practicing forgiveness. Too many of us simply don't know how valuable forgiveness is in a relationship, let alone how to forgive. Communicating better, improving our conflict resolution skills, and learning to have better sex are all great for our relationships. The problem is that even if we get better at all of these aspects of a relationship, we still disagree and occasionally mistreat each other. Forgiveness will always be necessary, because couples always have significant personality differences and conflicts with each other. Forgive for Love is the first book that teaches you how to enfold forgiveness into the heart of your relationship. In this book, I show you that forgiveness is the missing piece in the difficult puzzle of creating a successful marriage. John Gottman of the Gottman Institute, which focuses on researching and restoring relationships, conducted a scientific study on why some marriages succeed and others fail by interviewing and tracking hundreds of couples through the University of Washington. Before Gottman's work, we could only guess as to why some couples had successful marriages and others did not. He turned the study of marriage into a science. One of his most provocative findings was that approximately 70% of the issues that couples disagree about at the beginning of their relationship do not change over time. What this means, for instance, is that if you have a stronger libido than your partner when you are dating, there is a good chance that you will still be more libidinous after 14 years together. If you are a person who craves order and your partner is a mess, neither of you will have changed after 3 years of being together. If you were more adventuresome than your partner early in the relationship, you are likely to be the one to suggest the exotic vacation on your 15th anniversary. Without forgiveness, these personality differences can turn into grudges between you and your partner that over time will erode the relationship. I wrote Forgive for Love to be the essential missing link in the literature on successful relationships. Forgive for Love shows you how to use forgiveness to communicate better, manage conflict better, see the good in your partner, and allow yourself to make common mistakes. It shows you the critical importance of forgiving yourself, the value of modeling forgiveness for your children, and step-by-step instruction in how to do this. People who learn to forgive have more successful relationships. Successful couples are able to figure out how to forgive each other for being themselves, and they do this because they know that it is nearly impossible to change other people. Since we are human beings, by definition, we are imperfect. Unsuccessful couples do not learn how to forgive each other. They live with grudges that separate them until the relationship slowly disintegrates or quickly blows up. Successful couples learn how to make peace with the fact that they are both human beings with flaws, quirks, and annoying habits. Unsuccessful couples spend angry years in futile attempts to change each other, and then fan the smoldering resentment that emerges. The cost of bad marriages in the United States is staggering. Over 50% of marriages end in divorce. 43% of all first marriages end within the first 10 years. And 60% of second and third marriages end in the first 10 years. Thus, people who do not succeed at marriage the first time around are likely to be even less successful the second or third time around. These remarkable statistics show how hard it is to create a good relationship that lasts. One survey showed that only 25% of spouses consider themselves happy together. Somewhere around 50% of children are raised by one parent at some point in their lives, and many of these children are being raised in poverty. Obviously, there is a lot of room for improvement in how we conduct our marriages and relationships. If couples only had to forgive each other for their differences or for being flawed but human, that would be hard enough. Some of our flaws and human failings can be really annoying. Our partners may be guilty of sloppiness, chronic lateness, laziness, self-absorption, grumpiness, dressing badly, eating in a hurry, and so on. Relationship problems can be aggravated by differing natural rhythms, such as bedtimes and wake-up times, levels of physical activity, and frequency of sex. Couples can also be strained by issues associated with the relative importance of money, neatness, and the effort each partner puts into the relationship. And partners often bring different views of what's normal to parenting, family relationships, politics, good grades, and other aspects of life. The quest for forgiveness is even harder, however, when marriage partners bring bigger problems to the relationship than personality differences and individual quirks. Spouses may cheat, lie, have long-term affairs, steal money or possessions, or live in a fantasy world of their own creation. Others spend too much money on frivolous things or refuse to have sex. Some spouses abuse alcohol and drugs, are bad parents, or are indifferent to their partners. Whether they are selfish and mean or scared and lonely, such spouses can be difficult to deal with. Over the course of almost any relationship, some problems will be caused by personality differences, and some problems will be caused by selfish and mean behavior. It is in your best interest to learn to forgive all the obstacles that are thrown your way in your primary relationship, whatever their source. To do this, you must give yourself time to feel your pain and to process what transpired, so that you can make a good decision as to what to do next. When forgiveness is on your menu, you can do this with a more open heart and a clearer mind. Partners in any complex human relationship will often need to forgive themselves and each other. Forgive for Love shows you how to forgive your partner, both for being human and for being unkind. Here you will learn how to make peace with the person you chose, and how to repair the damage when you are treated badly. The book fills a critical gap in our knowledge about how to make relationships last, and it will help you find peace and happiness with your partner and with yourself. Forgiveness is a fundamental and critical component of a healthy relationship. Forgive for Love Quiz. Please answer yes or no to the following questions. 1. Are there some things about your partner that regularly bug you? Yes? No. 2. Do you find yourself verbally expressing frustration with your partner even when they aren't present? Yes? No. 3. Have you made a promise to yourself to talk calmly with your partner and then found yourself talking more harshly than you intended? Yes? No. 4. When you are hurt by your partner, do you talk more about what is wrong with them than about your hurt feelings? Yes? No. 5. When you think about something your partner did that upsets you, does it remind you of other things they have done wrong? Yes? No. 6. Do you often feel that your partner just doesn't get it when you try to talk to them? Yes? No. 7. Do you find that time after time it is the same issues that continue to upset you about your partner? Yes. No. 8. Do you long for someone who does not have your partner's faults? Yes. No. 9. When you argue with your partner, do you bring up their wrongs from the past? Yes. No. 10. When you talk about your relationship with other people, is your partner often the villain? Yes. No. 11. Do you get annoyed at your partner because they do not listen well? Yes. No. 12. Do you often think that if only your partner would change, your relationship would be better? Yes. No. The key. If you answered yes to 0 to 2, you are doing a good job of keeping resentment at bay and can successfully manage the normal disagreements of a relationship. You need this book only if you are in a new relationship to prepare for issues that have yet to surface. Or you need this book if you are going through a particularly good patch, but have had some issues in the past. There is no bad time to learn the skills of forgiveness. 3 to 5. It is critical that you start practicing forgiveness right away. Most likely you are aware of your relationship strengths and your problems are manageable. However, bitterness is emerging, and without forgiveness as part of your recipe of responses, long-term damage can be done to your relationship. 6 to 12. Your relationship is in trouble. Either you are going through a really bad patch, or you struggle with chronic negativity. Regardless, your relationship needs help. Learning to forgive is necessary to make sure the damage done to your relationship is contained, and further damage is not done. The healing of the relationship can start with this book, and lasting and loving relationship can still be yours. 2. What is forgiveness, and why is it good for me? Everybody thinks they know what it is to forgive, but the truth is that many people are unclear about what forgiveness actually is. They form their understanding of forgiveness from old church sermons or from snippets of information in magazines or movies. Couples often do not choose forgiveness when it would be helpful to their relationship, because their understanding of forgiveness is so limited. Once a couple understands what it means to forgive and give it a try with each other, they quickly see a positive effect in their relationship. A big part of my work is simply explaining what forgiveness is and showing couples the benefits of learning how to forgive. Too many couples remain stuck in contempt and negativity and miss out on a terrific way to improve their relationship simply because they don't understand this basic tool. How can you forgive your partner if you do not know what forgiveness is? How can you learn to forgive if no one has ever shown you how? Both of these questions came up when I was working in couples therapy with Billy and Kathy. Billy was a Vietnam vet who had struggled with alcohol abuse since his service days. Kathy never drank, had worked hard as a school teacher, and had diligently protected their children from the effects of Billy's drinking. When I saw them, their children were grown and they were trying to figure out how to make a life together with an empty nest. At our first appointment, I learned that Billy had stopped drinking about 2 years earlier for health reasons. His doctor had bluntly told him that if he continued to drink, he was a dead man. Kathy was furious with Billy for his years of alcohol abuse. And for the first 3 sessions, she angrily described to me how awful their life had been during his drinking years. She filled the room with complaints about his parenting and his irresponsible behavior. Billy apologized for his poor behavior, but his belated regret was not enough for Kathy. Billy wasn't a bad man. He was one of the thousands of men who returned from the Vietnam War with emotional problems so bad that it took alcohol to numb them. Like many vets, he never learned coping mechanisms to help him deal with the horrendous experiences he'd had in Vietnam. When he wasn't drinking, Billy was a good-natured and well-liked man who kept a job no matter how bad he felt. There was affection in the marriage. Kathy saw her husband's good points, and he thought the world of her. However, when I asked her, "What will it take for you to forgive him?" her response was, "Never. What he did was unforgivable." Kathy explained that what she found unforgivable was that Billy had drunk to the point of being drunk with the kids in the house. She believed that if she forgave Billy now, she would be saying that his drinking had been okay, when clearly it wasn't. Before Kathy could begin the process of forgiving Billy and healing her marriage, she needed to understand what forgiveness was and what it would mean to forgive her husband. After we started talking about the nature of forgiveness, she was finally able to let go of some of her resentment so that she and Billy could discuss their current relationship and help get it back on track. I have seen hundreds of patients like Kathy who are in relationships in which they have been hurt or misunderstood. They suffer from emotional pain so intense and have had life-altering experiences so profound that they can't let go of their grudges. But because they misunderstand what it means to forgive, they are unable to use its healing power in their relationships. If you are in a relationship that needs healing, the first thing you need to understand is what forgiveness is and why common misconceptions of forgiveness get in the way of truly practicing it. I'll discuss case histories of couples who were able to practice real forgiveness, and I'll also show you how forgiveness contrasts with similar qualities, such as reconciliation, condoning, and pardoning. Forgiveness is not a cure-all. In some situations, forgiveness is not the right choice. If you're in an abusive relationship, it is more important to find safety than to practice forgiveness. If you've been molested and your abuser is still active, then stopping the abuser is more important than forgiving him or her. If you're suffering from a new loss or recent infidelity, it is important to feel the pain and grieve the loss, not simply rush to forgive the offender. Forgiveness is not a substitute for making good decisions that protect you and the ones you love. Forgiveness is not a substitute for feeling hurt and struggling to know what to do. What forgiveness brings is a sense of peace that allows you to make decisions that are unclouded by bitterness or resentment. What is forgiveness? One of my favorite explanations of forgiveness comes from The Lion King. In the words of Timon and Pumbaa, who counsel Simba to leave your past behind you. We can also think of forgiveness as giving up all hope for a better past. And at least one part of forgiveness is planning the future rather than lamenting the past. While this idea of turning away from the past is one aspect of forgiveness, it doesn't fully explain the importance of forgiveness and its power to heal wounds. I find that 2 central components of forgiveness articulate best how this works. The first element of forgiveness is the ability to be accepting when your spouse fails to give you what you want or imposes on you something you don't want. This aspect of forgiveness helps you to remain at peace when your partner says no to a request or demand that you find reasonable. It also helps you to stay calm when you don't get something you think you deserve. This aspect of forgiveness is utilized every day, such as when you ask your husband to take out the garbage and he doesn't get around to doing it. You might think that it would be better if he had done the chore, but you do not feel angry or violated about it. You can use the same technique when your husband does something you think he shouldn't have. Let's say that you have to be up early every morning, and your wife can sleep late. You ask her to get into bed without disturbing you, and she agrees to do so. Yet, at least twice a week, she wakes you up to have sex or talk or simply makes noise or a mess. The fact that you are disturbed when you don't want to be becomes a problem in your relationship. I'm going to teach you how to stay calm even when the trash can is full of garbage or when you are awakened against your wishes. Staying calm does not make you a doormat. In fact, there is great power in knowing that you don't have to be an emotional mess, even though the trash didn't get taken out or your need for sleep wasn't respected. The ability to remain at peace when you do not get what you want is forgiveness. Being able to forgive puts you on the path to a strong and successful relationship in life. Forgiveness reminds you that it is not just what your partner does or does not do that causes you pain. Much of your suffering comes from having wanted your partner to do something different from what he or she actually did. You wanted the garbage to be taken out, and got garbage staying inside instead. You wanted peace and quiet and got a rude awakening. You wanted a neat house and came home to a mess. When you want something different from what you actually get, you are always in a position of struggle. That struggle often shows up as anger or despair or a sense of helplessness. The good news is that you can get over those negative emotional reactions and learn to be at peace. For example, you can believe that taking out the garbage is the right thing to do, and forgive your husband when he does not do it. You can believe that he should do what you ask, but forgive him for not doing it. You can forgive your husband for resisting your attempts to motivate him. And you can forgive yourself for not finding the key that makes him do what you want. You can want the garbage removed and remain at peace when it is not. The important principle here is that your partner makes the decision to take out the garbage or not. Whether or not you remain at peace is mostly up to you. Forgiveness contains the understanding that another person's action, no matter how awful, does not compel you to be endlessly miserable, angry, or emotionally distraught. Perhaps you are in the mood for sex, but your partner is not. Maybe you will have an arrangement that if one partner wants sex, the other will try to comply. However, it's just not happening tonight. Your lover is in a foul mood and is simply not going to oblige you and has said no to what you want. When you forgive your partner, you are emotionally okay with your partner's refusal to have sex, while remaining certain that sex is what you want. You can stay cool, while also being clear that your partner has let you down. The decision not to have sex when you wanted it was your partner's, and it is your decision how much agitation you feel in response. It is up to you how you deal with your partner's decision to say no. The ability to remain calm, or to regain your calm after being upset, has significant implications for your physical and emotional well-being. Forgive for Love will explain that being able to remain calm when your wishes are unfulfilled is an essential skill in a successful marriage. If you are honest with yourself, you will agree that not getting exactly what you want from your partner is a major challenge in even a good relationship. One reason this happens is that we experience such minor disappointments on a regular basis. Our partners do things against our wishes every day, and even if they do what we want sometimes, it is not exactly the way we want it. Learning how to cope with this successfully is essential. Suppose that you ask your partner to turn off the outside light before going to sleep. Every night you ask him to turn out the light. But every morning you wake up and the light is on. You ask again the next evening. And once again when you wake up, the light is on. Your partner is effectively saying no to your desires by his actions. And it is likely that your response is to feel anger or a sense of not being listened to. However, there is a part of you that can be at peace in this situation. That part of you has already forgiven your partner and is not offended by his behavior. That part hasn't been offended by your partner's choice to ignore your wishes or by not getting what you wanted. Sometimes this forgiveness shows up as a small voice in your head reminding you that you are getting out of control. It may remind you that even though your partner misbehaved today, he made dinner and took
sample complete. Ready to continue?